All right, welcome everyone. It's Wednesday night here in America. That would be the 21st. I guess that would be the Independence Day 21st over there in Ireland. It's officially Thursday morning over there now. But welcome everyone. I'm Stephen Robertson. This is Council of Cabal. Lee, if you want to talk about Friday night, 11 p.m., get with me. We can speak on that. I've been doing shows on that night, but get with me a little bit later on or tomorrow or something. We will talk about that. Anyways, I have someone on that most everybody has gotten to know here in the last couple months, or someone that most everybody has known for quite a long time now. He's only been a show host for a little while now. He messaged me and said he'd like to come on, so I have Martin Farrell on. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Oh, you're welcome. Speak up into that microphone if you can, darn it.
Can you hear me, Stephen?
Yes, I'll just have to bring you up a little bit.
Yes, thanks very much for having me on your show.
Oh, you're very welcome. I guess we had a particular subject we can speak on. I got to bring myself up now, too, for some reason. Everything's a little wobbly today, but Anyways, we're going to talk about false flag attacks, aren't we?
False flag attacks.
I think that's what you mentioned you wanted to speak about, wasn't it? Can you hear me, Martin?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, yeah. Are we going to talk about false flags?
I think it's the PIR player that's still on in the background, Steve.
Oh, on your background or my background?
On your background.
Huh. Well, I can get rid of that. I don't know. Is that any better?
Yes.
That got better?
Yep. That's okay. Fine.
But anyways, yeah, we're going to talk about false flags, right?
Yeah. Far away. What do you want to ask me?
What do you want to tell me?
What can I tell you?
Well, I don't know. Let's just talk about the fact that they are simplistic in nature. And they seem to be effective to millions and millions of people and manipulating them to doing what they want.
Right. Well, I won't say I've studied it, but I've looked into this phenomena, and that's exactly what it is a phenomena for many years, you know. Especially when something bad happens around the world, when there's so many people killed around the world. You have to sit back and look and say, right, is this exactly what's happening? I've said this to many people many a time, and he said, it's like the shoe bomber that was on a plane one time, or underwear bomber or something.
Yes.
And he said he was bringing bombs onto the plane. And I said to the guy one time, so I'd want to be there, sit beside him, and he'd want to tell me in his words that he brought bombs onto a plane before I would believe anything. But then it transpired that there was CIA people, I'll just say people, that brought him on the plane in the first place. So, you know, what's going on there? Is that a false flag?
Well,
the FBI have been making up stories. They've been cohorting people for many, many years now. They'd infiltrate people and give them monies to buy bombs and blah, blah, blah. And the minute they get to do something or try to do something, the FBI would go in and say, ha-ha, we got you. So are they making crimes or stopping crimes? You know, I think in the last couple of years, I think I've read somewhere that 70%, maybe a little bit more, of all FBI sting operations, man-made by themselves.
Well, yeah, they were all produced by themselves. They were
produced
all
themselves,
manufactured by themselves. Yeah,
manufactured. That's a nice word. Manufactured. But you go to the latest one here and there in Paris, which is absolutely ridiculous. If you look at it, if you look at it carefully, if anybody out there looks at it carefully, it is absolutely made up. But even before I will go into the Paris one first. We have a video, it's on YouTube before it was taken down, of a gendarme, a cop, guard, whatever way you want to look at it, being shot in the torso with a heavy weapon. I'm not going to say what it was, or I'm not into weapons, but it was a heavy weapon. It was shot in the torso. And this guy went over and shot this person, presumably, at point-blank range, and then ran back into the car. Now, we all know, if you shot somebody in the torso, there's blood everywhere. Even regarding that, right, there's no blood, right? If you ran over with a heavy weapon and shot somebody at point-blank range, it's probably very vulgar now to say that their brains would have been off the footpath or the pavement. They would have been splattered, for want of a better word. But that wasn't there at all.
I've seen that video you're referring to. Yeah, this he allegedly almost at a full run, at the least a trot, comes up to another man and shoots him, and there's nothing. There's no blood splatter. And in this video, you can actually see the bullet hitting the ground, a ricocheting. There's the dust and the concrete that flies up in the air when the bullet does hit the ground, or the concrete. At least,
yes.
That's what I've seen anyways.
Yes. Yes, I've seen that myself. But even, having said that, Stephen, even if you were shooting somebody with a point-blank range with blank ammunition, it'd still do some damage. It would still do some damage because of the firepower coming out. I can't think of the word of it now. But you're right. There was nothing in that video to show anything else except the puff of smoke coming off the pavement. Nothing at all to indicate that policeman, cop, gendarme was hit in any way. There was no blood, no nothing, you know? And then you look at the car they were presumably driving in. It was a black car with silver mirrors, I might add.
Uh-huh.
It was a black Citroen with silver mirrors.
Almost like a government car?
At the time, but it was a black Citroen with silver mirrors. But the car that they presumably found in the car park later on that day or the next day was a black Citroen, fair enough, but it had black mirrors. And they said, this is the car from the killers. It was a completely different car.
Yeah.
Could not have been the same car.
Well, when they're doing it on the fly and things go wrong, they have to make up things ad hoc, and you know, it might be a little difficult to keep their lies straight.
Understandable, yes. But even so, they showed a video, presumably, I might add, of the guys going in to shoot these cartoonists. And I might add this before I go into this, these cartoons were shown years ago. They weren't shown a couple of weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, or last year even. These cartoons were shown 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think. I forget now. You know, this is old news, if you know what I'm saying. It's not new news, right? They showed the Prophet Muhammad in a derogative way, right? We're going to kill them. This is old news. This is not new news. So why just now? Why now, in the last couple of weeks, did they decide, Islamic extremists, to kill these guys? You know? It just doesn't make sense. The whole lot doesn't make sense. But yeah. It shows guys going into this printing place, or into this magazine, and shooting all these people. But even that was proven to be photoshopped.
Yes. So
why would they photoshop something? If it was presumably live, they had a camera on some rooftop, why would they photoshop it? You know, it definitely doesn't make... All this just doesn't make sense.
Well, they have to give the impression. They have to give the French people and the people of the world a certain type of impression. Or they have to insinuate, maybe, that it was, somebody else, when it could have been, in fact, one of their own agents or something.
There has been talk about Israeli agents, even Iranian agents, American agents, UK agents. But we will never know what agent has done it. But what I do know, I don't know fact, but I do know what happened in Paris was not what they're telling us. I definitely do know that. It was not Islamic extremists. Definitely not. It's all about putting fear into the populace of France. And they've done it. And they've worked. Because 2 days later, they had 10,000 troops on the streets of France. And now I've read today, or maybe it was yesterday, that Belgium has troops on the streets. Now, that very much sounds to me like martial law.
Well, know? Yeah, it does. It does. To go back there just a minute or two, Martin, the Islamic demonization. That started long, long time ago. It started probably at the beginning of the 20th century. A lot of people just really don't realize it, but they started demonizing the Muslims, you know, back in the beginning of the Hollywood movies, the early 1900s, as far back as, you know, some of the first movies were silent movies about Alibaba and the 40 Thieves or whatever. There was quite a few. Well, there have been quite a few movies over the last 110 plus years that have demonized Muslims and the, not just Muslims, but particularly Arabs. You know,
I was going to say actually there, Stephen, but I was going to say the Hollywood propaganda machine.
Yeah.
But as we sit now today in 2015, it's not Hollywood propaganda machine anymore. It's the CIA propaganda machine. And that's exactly what it is.
Well, certainly it is. There's been.
I've sent you this evening, not even knowing that I was going to be talking to you later on, but this new film, American Sniper.
Right.
What did you think of what I sent you?
I just turned the computer on like 40 minutes ago. I haven't even. I seen it on my mobile, but I wasn't able to get a hold of it there. I'm going to have to look at it on the computer here.
But it's all, I know you're American, sorry for saying this, but it's all American propaganda. It's trying to show the people they have a right to do this. They have a right to go to war.
Yeah.
Which they don't.
They have a right to kill people and maim them and demonize
them. It's one man's values, and that man is Obama, you know, which he shouldn't be down in the first place, in my opinion.
Oh, yes, yes.
But that's only my opinion, you know, and everybody's entitled to opinions, so.
Well, you know, the thing about propaganda and the thing about manipulations is very, very effective propaganda and effective manipulations. People don't even know that they're being affected by it. They're mind-controlled people don't know that they're mind-controlled, and that's the sad thing about it until they get... Until something happens to them and they're awakened to the fact, They're not going to know.
It's like talking, it's like Vin said a couple of weeks ago. He just give up explaining to people.
Who's this?
Vin
on the
radio.
He did?
You know, just give up explaining to people. Somebody asks him and he don't, look, that's a load of shit. He doesn't even go into it anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Explaining what? About?
Explaining anything.
False flags?
Well, false flags. I don't know about false flags, but if you go up to somebody and say, right, this is what's happening. This is exactly, your water has been poisoned, say, for instance. Well, I don't believe that it's there for blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. You know, I'm the same, I have to admit, I'm the same myself at the minute because people has to wake up on their own. I do try to wake up people, and everyone on the site is trying to wake up people, you know. So, anyway, get back to another false flag. I'm going to get back onto Boston.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting one. And it boils down to the same scenario as Paris, two brothers again.
Right.
Yeah, two brothers killed. Dead man can't talk.
No, they don't.
But this bomb presumably happened at the finishing line in the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
And the hoardings all along the side of the road. Now, I don't know about you, but if a bomb exploded, I think all them hoardings would be gone. There wasn't one hole in any of the hoardings. The only thing that happened, and I've watched it over and over again, it was a gust of wind.
What's probably referred to as a flash bomb that went off.
And it was exactly a flash bomb.
A lot of
from
smoke.
The movies.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can, you know, they can mimic an explosion, but they just don't have the force, the same powerful force as a bomb does. But they can. They can physically mimic it to the untrained eye and the camera lens.
Yeah, it looks good, Steve.
Yes, you might know, and a lot of people might know that filming or taking pictures of explosions is an art form. Just look at Hollywood. You know, they precisely have it down to a science. They can make an explosion look real, and they can make the aftermath, the after effects look real too.
Yeah, agreed. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but the thing that I really laughed at that day, and I'm sorry for if anybody was looking at that day, they were wheeling away a guy, presumably got his two legs blown up on a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
And that might sound awful to other people, but to me, you would not wheel away a guy on a wheelchair that's after getting his two legs blown up.
No, right.
No. There'd be tourniquets, there'd be drips, there'd be God knows what.
Yeah. It's also the fact that they had all of them wheelchairs right there to wheel them people away to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed, yeah.
Yeah.
And boy, was there an exercise going on that day.
Yeah. That they happened to announce on Twitter. The bank there across the street announced it, that was going to be a test, a bombing test or something like that. What I believe
that day, the same day.
Well, sure. I mean, they announced it on Twitter within minutes. It's going to happen at this certain time or whatever it was, and then it happened.
Yeah. You see, in my opinion, they don't care anymore. They don't care. We know.
No,
we do know. We do know what's going on.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, they just don't care.
Sure. I mentioned this a few weeks back on a show, Martin. I was following a TV series 4 years back. I'm sorry, almost 5 years back now. It was called The Rubicon. There was a young man that was a intelligence analyst, and he stumbled across a false flag, and he stumbled across many false flags. Now that we're speaking about false flags here, Martin, but he happened to stumble across some past ones, and the past ones, past false flags, all led to monetary gain from a few elite people that owned defense contract corporations and other corporations that, deal with government. And this young man stumbled across this conspiracy because his father-in-law was murdered. And anyways, at the end, his direct superior, the top man at that particular agency, was part of the conspiracy, and he confronted him in the end, and the guy said, "So what? What are you going to do?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell the world." And he said, "Go ahead. Who's going to believe you?"
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's the way it feels with a lot of this movement. Like you said, they really don't care anymore. They just...
They used to care, I think. They used to try to hide things.
No, I don't think. Well, there came a point somewhere in the past where they had to start telling the people. As you know, they need our consent, and we are more or less giving it to them day in and day out. We give them our consent with our silence. Just sure, a few of us jumping up and down and screaming is not going to make a real big difference. They don't want to see millions and millions of people getting out of the system. That's definitely what they do not want. They want us feeding the beast and complying. And
well, Stephen, I think there is millions of people around the world now. I really do. I really do. And what they're trying to do is what they're trying to do with the false flags is action and reaction. The same as Paris, right? They killed a load of people. Islamic Muslims didn't kill them. There's no doubt in my mind that didn't happen, right? And their reaction was France, a couple of days later, went in and bombed Northern Iraq, and then they bombed Syria. And a couple of days after that, there was 10,000 troops on the streets of France, and not a word said about it.
Yeah.
We had all the nation's dignitaries over there marching, which was a lie again, because pictures have turned up stating or showing that all the dignitaries were standing in a row, but they never marched. They never marched at the head of that procession, or whatever it was. They took a picture of the whole lot of them, all right, just standing in a row. That's all it was. It was all propaganda, again, you know?
Yeah.
And people were absolutely sickened by Benjamin Netanyahu to be there. He was told not to be there. And people were sickened by him to turn up and be there. Because he has to be one of them. Do you know something, Stephen? I'm not even going to go into it, because his name is not worthy for me to say it on this radio station, so I'm not even going to go into it. But people were sickened to see him there, because he is a terrorist. He is a terrorist, and a known terrorist. But the Americans won't say it, the British won't say it, even the Irish won't say it. There's nobody in the world, well, there's a few countries that says it, but the main democracies in the world, if they can call themselves democracies, will not call him a terrorist. But that's exactly what he is.
Yeah. I'm going to address a question that Tiger Boy just put in the chat room there. The question is not how they did it, but why they did it. the media and the government, they have to keep people distracted at all times, every single second of the day, whether it's entertainment, whether it's news. That's one of the main reasons why the 24/7, 365 news industry was made. It was invented. It harkens back to a lot of it happened back when Kennedy was shot. The day Kennedy was shot, they preempted many, many programs that come on that day, and they had live news coverage. And that served two purposes. You know, they got rid of a president by blowing his head off. And also, it was kind of a social experiment. Millions upon millions and millions of people watched that coverage all day and all night and into the next day. And I think there was another one in 72 with the Israeli, the Israeli wrestling team or something. A lot of them got murdered over there in, over there at the Olympic Games.
Olympic Games, yeah.
Yeah, the Olympic murders. Yeah. I think it was the Israeli wrestling team. If I'm not mistaken, somebody can.
I don't think it was a wrestling team, but
well,
yeah,
it was some kind of a team. It was an entire team, is what it was. They were one particular sport, and they did a lot of the same things over there. They preempted a lot of shows, a lot of TV, and they ran news coverages for a long, long time. And it also happened again in 77 with the Iranian hostage crisis here. You know, there was a lot of news coverage on that many, many nights when it first happened and when it ended. Of course, there was a long, long time in between where they didn't have a lot of coverage, but maybe just a few minutes at the nightly news. But and then I think it was in like 1980 or 82 is when Ted Turner come out with his CNN 24 hours a day news, and people, millions of people are actually hooked on that kind of stuff, Martin. They are hooked on that 24-hour news. And
you see, you're out saying something very important, Steve. I'm talking about false flags in the media, and we can see them false flags.
Yeah.
Because that meant false flags in the media and on the news. They're all false flags.
Right.
When they say something, and you sitting back and saying, that's a false flag. You know?
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't believe. I don't read the news anymore. Excuse me.
Yeah. I was just trying to answer Tiger Boy's question there. He just wanted to know what purpose it served, and it's one of the many distractions, along with the, you know, the sports industry and the entertainment industry. They really don't want the masses to know how bad they're being bent over, how bad they're being robbed, and how bad their sovereignty is being taken away from them. So,
well, it's been proven. I can see Tiger Boy's question. The question is, and what was the purpose that it served?
A distraction.
The purpose to say that there's 10,000 troops now on the streets of France.
Right.
That's a purpose.
Sure.
They blew the hole or the ass out of northern Iraq, Syria.
Right, but look what also happened, though. That particular incident you're talking about probably got a good 4 to 5 weeks of discussions on lots of programs on the 24-hour news agencies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all they talked about for like 4 weeks.
And you have to ask yourself, what was going on in the background?
Yes,
what
exactly.
What's happening in the background?
A distraction, right.
Yeah.
It's always like the magician. He always has a little dust in his left hand while he's doing something with his right hand.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But so even if you go into the media and go back, even to American football, I think it's been proven in the last 2 years or 3 years. It's all fixed.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually heard this story, Martin. I've not been able to verify it yet, but the word media, I think, comes from a ancient Latin word. There were people called the Medites. And the way I understand it, the Medites were people that kind of conjured up things. They were the magicians of the time. They were also the writers of the time. And I believe that they were also the doctors of the time. That's where the word medicine comes from. That's where the word media comes from. But
very interesting.
Yeah. I've heard that.
I posted a blog on PIR today, and Sorry, go ahead, Stephen.
Well, no, I was basically finished. I was just going to say I haven't really been able to verify that yet. I actually heard it somewhere, but...
Well, definitely, please let me know.
Yeah.
Get more information on that subject. That would be very interesting.
Yeah.
But I posted a blog on PIR today, and it was from a guy that was, I'm going to say, walking in Guantanamo Bay, and presumably three guys hung themselves. But he has different opinions, because he was there on the night, and he didn't hang themselves. They were killed. And this is an American soldier.
Certainly.
You know? So I think in my opinion, I think it's all unraveling against our will, I might add, or against the new world order's will, if that's the right word to use. But it is unraveling.
I don't think so, you know. I think it's just the opposite. I think they are in total control. They manipulate all elections. They manipulate all media. They manipulate all news. I'm under the impression, maybe it's a false one, and maybe it's just my opinion, Martin, but they let you know what they want you to know.
Exactly. That's not a false one. That's exactly right.
Whether it's, I know this is going to make a lot of people angry, and it doesn't really matter. This is my opinion again, but I think many of these people that are so-called whistleblowers, they might actually think that they're whistleblowing. But I think they are actually being let all this information out, what they're letting out. Because if in fact these elite people are as dangerous and as evil as a lot of people think they are, they would never, ever let anything out that they don't want out.
I've often wondered that myself, Stephen.
Yeah.
For the reasons being, because if they don't want something out, say Edwin Snowden is going to release something, they don't want it out.
Yeah,
sure,
but
they have a way of not letting it out.
Exactly. Look at Edward Snowden. He worked for the NSA, and his handler, his media go-between, has CIA ties. So
this is the guy with the mail.
Yeah. So what do you make of that, huh?
Well, plus you have to look into that as well. When you say Edward Snowden, he says, right, the material I'm going to release now in the next couple of weeks is going to blow the country wide and all this.
Yeah.
Why not release it now?
Right.
You know, I did. I often wondered about that myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stay on the fence about that one. I'm not really sure about that one. So.
Yeah. Look at all of the information that's come out on Obama ever since probably 2004. You know, one can look at every piece of evidence and they could come to the summation that Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Satoru, leads a secret gay life. They could also surmise, they could come to the conclusion by looking at the evidence that his father was not Barack Obama Sr., but his father was Frank Marshall Davis, the communist radical of the 40s and 50s and 60s. They could also come to the conclusion that he was a C average student, C and D average student in high school, and all of his college records from day one have been sealed. He was less than an average student, but yet he graduated from two colleges and has a degree in law, allegedly.
He has a degree, presumably, in constitutional law.
Constitutional law, yes. And they
just worse again,
right?
If he has,
and the fake left media here, the fake liberal media here in America, criticized Bush for shredding the Constitution here in America, but yet they give him a pass. They give Obama a pass for outdoing Bush tenfold on shredding the Constitution. Obama has shredded the Constitution and then set fire to it. More or less.
Easily, yeah. Having said that, exactly what you're after saying there, Stephen. Having said that, right, it would make you wonder why the White House put out a Photoshop of his bedsheet, knowing that it is basically a Photoshop
document. Yes. Just
blatant.
Just for another distraction.
Yeah.
I believe they did that because he knows. He had to have been told at a very young age. Although he kind of mentions it in his one book by calling Frank Marshall Davis, he calls him Uncle Frank.
Yeah.
He was nearly raised from the age of four until his formidable years, you know, until he went off to college. He was almost raised by Frank Marshall. He was actually raised by his grandparents with the help of Frank Marshall Davis. He said he visited his Uncle Frank many times a week for hours and hours upon a day. And he was one of the biggest influences on Barack Obama. And that Frank that he refers to is more than likely Frank Marshall Davis, because both of them were nearly in the same vicinity within minutes of each other at that particular time period.
Very interesting.
Yes, there's a very good documentary out there. It's called Dreams from My Real Father, or Dreams of My Real Father. It's kind of a play on his book.
Yeah.
People need to go see that, because there's a lot of good, compelling evidence. It's a lot more compelling that Frank Marshall Davis is his father, more so than Barack Obama Sr.
I have to admit now, everybody here in PIO, I've watched Obama from the early days in Chicago, right? And I've watched him get the presence of the United States. And there was a big double page photograph in one of the daily newspapers and blah, blah, blah. And I actually took him and stuck him in the wall. I said, this is the guy that's going to change everything.
Yes.
It didn't take me long to take it down.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people thought. And
everything. It's not one thing he said.
Yeah.
Everything he said was a lie.
Well, he did say one thing that wasn't a lie. It was absolute truth. If you remember, there was after one little speech, he said the words, in 5 days, we're gonna fundamentally transform America.
Stephen, sorry.
And that was not a lie.
Absolutely. And boy, Jesus, did he do.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
You know what? I talked to somebody last week, Martin, and I think America has virtually skipped over socialism and gone straight to communism.
That's a big statement, Stephen.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're probably right. Was socialism there in the first place? That's a question for you.
Well, I don't know. I think they tried to characterize it as socialism, but there's also another alleged story out there, Martin, that I think it was 1958. Khrushchev came over here to America and gave a speech, I think, to the UN. And he was talking to some State Department personnel here in America, and they were talking about communism. And, you know, they were talking about the bad effects of communism. And Khrushchev allegedly told this State Department person, he said, you know what, one day meaning the communist Russia, will take over America, and Americans will gladly take us in with open arms. And he said, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. That's just an allegation out there. You know, that's another one of the stories out there.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Tiger Boy's got another.
Maybe they did.
Yeah. I think, you know, I was taught in college, Martin, that there's really only two types of governing. There's individualism, and then there's collectivism. All of these other things like communism, Marxism, fascism, socialism—they all fall under the umbrella of collectivism.
Yeah, but to my reckoning, if you set aside communism, all other governments, I think, in my opinion, is presumably there for us, but not. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I'm setting aside communism, but haven't even said that. Communism has changed so much to the present day that it's probably unrecognizable from Stalin's day, you know?
Well, yes. Well, I mean, are you referring to communist Russia? Today's Russia is quite different than the communist Russia of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and even 70s. Quite a bit different. They are actually one of the up-and-coming capitalist countries of the world.
Yeah, but having said that, they're no longer a communist country, per se, Russia.
Not as much as we are. I mean, not as much as America is.
America is probably more communist than
it is.
And Russia.
By far. And people just don't realize that.
No, they can't. They wouldn't. Do you know something, Stephen? They probably wouldn't even be able to get their heads around it.
No.
No. No. Russia is, it's far more socialist now than America.
Yep. I wanted to tell Paul, I tried to go to that link there, but something's going wrong. Yeah, he just said wrong link.
See that.
And to answer Tiger Boy's question there, I think there's that allegation out there that Barack Obama, I think on some kind of a enrollment form or some kind of a, I think it was a little tag or a card he had in college, said he was a foreign-named student. I've actually seen that tag there or whatever, but foreign transfer student, yeah.
Never seen that one, to be quite honest.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly, his last name is supposed to be Satoru.
Satoru,
because,
yeah.
Because his mother married that man from Indonesia.
Oh, it was Indonesia?
Yeah, I think it was Indonesia.
Yeah, right.
But his name was Satoru, and he adopted Barack. And when he came back to America, everybody knew him as Barry Satoru.
Yeah.
And
he did go back from America. He went to Hawaii first, was it?
Yeah.
Well, and, America, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Then
that's
allegedly,
another island that they stole.
Yeah,
it
sure is. But allegedly, he never legally got his name changed back to Barack Obama.
Yeah.
That's the allegation there. But
at the end of the day, Stephen, who cares?
Right. It's all a distraction. It's all a distraction.
You know, his name and blah, blah, blah is not going to change what's happening now.
No, it's not. No. It just serves to sprinkle the magician's...
Well, the war machine is, and the media war machine is on full alert. It's gathering pace over Ukraine, where Russia, in my opinion, and fair play to Putin, is saying nothing, because he's doing nothing.
Right.
You know, it's Ukraine. There's more CIA operatives in Ukraine probably.
Than what there are Ukrainians, right?
That's the truth. That is the truth, you know. And fair play to Putin. He's saying nothing. And all these sanctions that the EU put on Russia, everybody's now saying, oh, I think we better recall on them, and I think we better take some of them sanctions back. Because I was sitting back a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking to myself, well, are these guys stupid?
Yeah.
Where are they getting the gas and oil from?
Yep.
Russia. And only last week, Russia declared, said, right, we're cutting off the pipeline through Ukraine to Europe. You know what I mean? You couldn't make it up, the stupidity of them.
Right.
And the whole of Europe now is saying, oh, we might renege on sanctions, and we might recoil on sanctions. And, you know, unbelievable. Well, Ukraine had the pipeline going through it now for the gas, but Russia is after doing a deal now with Turkey. To build a new pipeline through Turkey, and Turkey was one of America's allies,
yeah.
And they didn't even know about it,
right? Yeah.
So they're going to do that, and I found that very funny myself. To be quite honest, I have to admit, I found it very funny. But sure, yeah. If you're sitting back like me, sitting back and looking at all this happening, you're going to say, "Are these guys for real?
Yeah.
Do not know what's going to happen." Russia's after getting rid of the petrodollar. China is the new buddy of Russia, you know, with Iran. That's a new axis over there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
Even I could see it. Even I could see what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have the top men, well, not you yourself, but you have the top men in America saying, yeah, we do this, we do that. But you know what I'm saying, obviously.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's crazy what's going on. And the media propaganda that's going on about Ukraine is absolutely unbelievable.
Well,
everything Russia, I can see, is doing in Ukraine, and they've done it, I think, three times now, and I think they're going to do it a fourth time, is sending humanitarian aid.
Yeah. Well, you know, what the media has perfected over their entire existence is the ability to whip up a frenzy in the people.
Yeah.
And they are at it again, so to speak.
Yep. Absolutely agree with you, 110%.
Yeah.
Well, the likes of me can see it, the likes of you can see it, but I do believe the likes of English people can see it. Well, some can see it.
A lot of Americans can't either.
And definitely a lot of Americans can't see it. A matter of fact, I'd say the majority of Americans can't see it.
Oh, sure.
Because of the media that's out there.
Sure. I think less than 5% of the American population actually knows what in the world I'm talking about right now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Do you know something? And I don't mean this in a bad way. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you 100%.
And
because you used to ask me a few years ago, what do you think of American people? And I admittedly, now, listen to me now, they're just dumb.
No, they're not so much dumb as that they're under mind control.
They're not informed, Stephen.
They're under mind control too, though.
Yeah, but they're not informed.
Right, right.
Now, I have to apologize for saying that.
Well, you know, I had to break my conditioning, my mind control, before I could be informed. I was drinking the Kool-Aid up until 6 years ago, myself, Martin.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else, but I can finish this story. Oh, I know what it was. I was going to tell you a joke. I've told this joke on air before on what used to be MSI radio. First, it was TNS radio. I actually joined TNS radio, and then about 4 days later, they were shut down, and it was changed to MSI radio. Media Streaming International. And then it was, and then lo and behold, about a year ago, it turned to PIR, People's Internet Radio. But anyways, this joke goes that an American was sitting on a bench in a park, and a European walks up to the bench and sits down next to the American. And they're just sitting there, not conversing or anything there for a couple of minutes. And finally, the European turns to the American. He says, "You know what? You Americans are so ignorant and apathetic." And the American, he kind of sat there for a second, and he looked over at the European, and he said, "You know what? I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and I really don't care." And that used to be a funny joke, but it's really not so funny anymore.
Oh, that's a funny joke, Steve. That's funny. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you want to go back into that,
well,
the American populace is waking up big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Even if you go on to that Texas show you were talking about earlier on, there was millions of people watching that Texas guy.
Yeah. But they still don't have they still don't have it correct, though, because a lot of them people aren't waking up to the false left right paradigm. They're just waking up that something's wrong. They just don't know what it is. Well,
what do we have to do?
Go ahead, Martin.
What do we have to do?
I don't know. Just education. I don't think we need to scream into the microphone like Alex Jones does, but you know, just education.
Comes a guy that smokes 20 cigars a day.
Yeah. Well, let him smoke them. Maybe he'll die before he's 40. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I only wanted to do an hour here, Martin, and we're just about at that hour. I know, yeah. I know we'll have to do this again another night. Apparently I am coming on your show on Friday night.
Not this Friday night.
No,
Stephen. But I think I have Jim Lee on my show Friday night. If you know Jim.
No, I don't. But I thought you asked me last week about this week.
No, I said on a Friday night.
Ah, okay.
But we definitely will continue this discussion on Friday night.
Yeah.
Because it is a very great discussion.
It is.
We could go on for hours and hours to talk this.
Absolutely. You know?
By the way, your show follows my show on Friday evening.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we could have just one big long show. Yeah. Very interesting, that is.
Do you have a host for your show, or do you have
I do. I have the best producer in the world on my show, and his name is Fairport.
Fairport? You haven't been produced by me yet, then. No offense to Fairport.
No, Fairport is the best producer this side of Massachusetts. I love Fairport. He's a brilliant producer.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
You know what? I've actually been producing my own shows since the second week that I was on the network.
Yeah. I really will have to start doing it myself, but it's a big ask for me because I wouldn't have a clue where to start. But presumably, once I'm shown, it'd be no problem, you know?
Yeah. And the only reason I wasn't producing my own shows from day one is because Vin was very, very busy, and he couldn't get me the soundboard very quickly. Otherwise, I'd have been doing my own shows from day one. But I thank Johnny Meath for producing a lot of my shows in the first 2 weeks there. We actually had almost a five-hour marathon the first night I was on air.
5 hours?
Yeah, me and Johnny. It was like 4 hours and 47 minutes or something like that.
I just go for a piddle, Steve.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of music breaks in there, right. but had to get a couple of tea breaks in there.
Oh, yes.
To get some sovereignty.
Yes, you definitely will be on the show, and we definitely will. It will run in. It'll be a big show, and we run in because we can talk. We could talk for hours on this subject. No problem.
Yes, we can.
No problem. There's lots more to talk about.
Yes, there is. All right, then, Martin. Thanks for coming on.
Stephen, I am delighted that you asked me to come onto your show, and I'm delighted to be in the chat box. So you asked me on your show, and I'm delighted. I am delighted. Anytime.
Okay. We'll have to do this very, very soon again. So everyone, I'm done for the night here. I've had some stomach issues, and I need to get something taken care of. I'm not going to explain very much, but some people might be able to figure that out. So, good night, everyone. Till next time I see you. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this has been Cancel the Cabal. Let me get a quick song on here so I won't have to mess with this. Good night, everyone.